All right, we can move on to giant Pacific octopus. This is a briefing and a public hearing. We have Craig Burley back to lead us through this topic. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, Director Anderson, Deputy Director Storr, for the record, my name is Craig Burley, Fish Management Division Manager. And today I'd like to provide a briefing regarding the giant Pacific octopus. The objective here is to present the draft management options that the department staff have developed working with the advisory group, and to have a public hearing regarding those opportunities, as well as summarize the written public comment that we've received today. So I'll provide some background information, again review the process and schedule, describe what our current management is, the management options that are out for public comment. I'll summarize and provide the themes of the comments that we've received so far, an opportunity for commission discussion, and then public hearing. So for giant Pacific octopus, they range between California to Alaska and south to Japan. They're a species that's broadly dispersed from intertidal to 750 meters in depth. The larger end of their range in weight is around 40 to 100 pounds, with an average maximum length of about 15 feet. They have a relatively short lifespan, 3 to 5 years, with a 230-day incubation period, with females laying approximately 20 to 100,000 eggs. After the female lays those eggs, incubates, and the young hatch, they typically die. Males die shortly thereafter. Relative to the status of giant Pacific octopus, we lack a formal status assessment. However, we do think, based on the biological characteristics of this species and the current harvest management, that they're likely not in any type of an overfished status and are likely healthy. So I did want to focus just briefly on the incident that occurred at Seacrest Cove. This was back in October of 2012, where we had a diver legally harvest an octopus at that site. That caused some concern from the public regarding that harvest. And between then and January, the commission has actively looked at this topic and has asked the department staff to develop options through a public process that could address this situation. So in March of this year, department convened a ad hoc advisory group to discuss this topic. That group provided recommendations and we developed options for consideration by the public. I briefed you on those recommendations in April. We then took that package out to the public and conducted two public workshops in April, one in Port Townsend and the other in Seattle. As well as during the April 15 to May 31 time period, we collected comments via the agency webpage. And today we're here for this briefing and also to collect public testimony. The commission will be asked to consider this topic and take action at the next meeting in August. So this slide shows the current management that's in place for giant Pacific octopus in Puget Sound. There are currently 9 conservation areas, 16 marine preserves, as well as the Hood Canal area. All of these areas are currently closed to harvest of giant Pacific octopus. In those remaining areas of the sound that are open, our harvest regulations are a year-round season with a one octopus daily limit. Harvesters are required to harvest the octopus by hand or an instrument that does not penetrate the body. However, it is legal if an angler is fishing with hook and line that they can retain an octopus if it's hooked while fishing. Our best estimates at this point, although not fully complete, is that there's somewhere around 50 pounds of octopus harvested annually in the sport fishery.
Commissioner Smith?
Just a question, Craig. What does that figure, how do you arrive at that figure of 50 pounds annually?
Thank you, Commissioner Smith. So we have a recreational sampling program in Puget Sound that where we have staff that are at sites and are collecting information from our boat-based recreational fishing fleet. And so this is based on observations of octopus that are returned to the dock and then expanded based on effort.
And just a follow-up. And I imagine that that sort of sampling methodology is utilized in other species as well, but is your confidence level in that figure, given the methodology, is
Commissioner Smith, we think it's a likely an underestimate, so it monitors the boat-based fishery, so the shore-based fishery is not included in that. It's really in conjunction with our finfish fishery sampling, so we think it's likely an underestimate, but the indications that we have is harvest of octopus are very low in the sound.
Can we let Craig finish? We're behind the schedule and want to do this efficiently.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So what I'd like to do now is just talk about the management options that have been out for public comment since mid-April. Those include first the option A, which is status quo, which would be no changes in our current regulations. Option B, which would create two marine preserves, and in those preserves would be a prohibition on recreational harvest of all species. Those are at Redondo Beach and Seacrest Park Coves 1, 2, and 3. This excludes an area around a fishing pier there that I can show in a map in a moment here. Option C would create seven marine preserves. These would include, in this option, Redondo Beach as well as Seacrest Park Coves. And then, as you can see, Three Tree Point, Les Davis. There's an area just around the corner of Seacrest Cove. It's called Alki Beach Junkyard, Days Island, and Deception Pass. So under option C, these areas would be closed to harvesting giant Pacific octopus only in the recreational fishery. And then finally, option D would be a Puget Sound wide closure to recreational harvest of giant Pacific octopus. So I have here map of each of these particular sites. These are also on our agency webpage so that public can see the specific boundaries that we're talking about. This again, Redondo Beach is an area just north of the fishing pier that's currently there. And we have the coordinates here. Those coordinates are also in your notebooks as well. And you can see with the inset map in the upper left-hand corner, it's a little small to see, but the black dot shows where Redondo Beach is, which is right here on the inset map. Seacrest Park Coves 1, 2, and 3, again, are over here on West Seattle. And I referenced previously the fishing pier that's at that site, and the boundaries that are currently proposed would draw a line around this fishing pier that would allow fishers to harvest when fishing from that pier. This is well marked both at the surface and on the bottom with markers, so would be apparent by both divers and surface-based anglers. Three Tree Point, again, you can see on the inset map is located here in sort of central sound. Small area, there's an access site here, shore-based dive just north of the Three Tree Point. Les Davis, this is associated here a little farther south. There's a developed park at this location, as well as a fishing pier. We currently have regulations in place that allow the public to fish from this pier. So this would be located just south of that fishing pier. The Alki Beach Junkyard, as I mentioned earlier, just around the corner to the west of Seacrest Coves 1, 2, and 3, and just north of Alki Point. Days Island is south of Titlow Beach, and it is associated with Days Island here, just offshore there. And then finally at Deception Pass, the shaded area in orange, you can see this is farther, it's in the north sound, and would include the areas that are highlighted here in the orange color. I would add at this time that staff are still working with advisors and will be reviewing the public comment that we receive, and there may be some changes to these boundaries. We're looking at a few places, for example, at Les Davis, where we have the fishing pier. We think the boundary may extend into the area that's defined as open to fish from the fishing pier. At Seacrest Coves 1, 2, and 3, we've gotten some comment that we may need to extend the northerly boundary slightly farther north to fully capture the area. So we'll be analyzing that information, and we'd bring back any recommended changes to the commission at the August meeting. So in terms of comments received, we've during the mid-April to May time period, over 400 comments on these proposals. And as a breakout, option A, 14% of the comments were in favor of this option. Approximately 6% were in favor of option B, which, as you recall, was the complete closure at the two areas, Redondo and Seacrest Coves. Option C, 31% were in support of this proposal, and that was all seven sites as a closure to giant Pacific octopus only. And option D at 49%, which was a complete closure in Puget Sound. I would mention that with the online commenting option that the department has now, we've seen a wide range of geography associated with the comments that we received, and you may have noticed that if you had an opportunity to look at the link that was provided on Monday. And really, we've seen comments from other countries as well as other states, and so it's a quite an interesting phenomenon to see. As we looked at these comments, there were some themes that were coming out of the comments, and I won't necessarily read all of these, but I'll hit the high points for you. You do have these comments in your notebooks, but relative to support for option A, status quo, we did hear that comments thought that we should be managing according to abundance and harvest levels of these species, and given the low abundance that this may not be needed. There was also comments that we might consider, for example, a catch record card to get a better handle on harvest to see if there was a problem. There were comments that thought that with appropriate outreach that there could be good voluntary protection provided without requiring regulation changes. And we heard that they'd like to see science used to determine the protection level. Opposed to status quo, some comments thought there was a level of protection that was needed for giant Pacific octopus, but if that was implemented, that would need to be a consistent protection for all gear types. And that there was need for protection for viewing opportunities, and that there was a recognition that octopuses are very charismatic, and there was support for protecting them. Relative to option B, again, closure to all recreational fishing at two sites, support for that. Was that there's a lack of protection for the GPO, and that this would provide that opportunity, that there's not enough known to allow for a directed fishery, that divers are choosing to dive to view wildlife, and that this kind of protection would be appropriate, broader than just for octopuses. Opposed, we heard or read that the resource appears to be in good shape, and that this is not necessarily needed, that we should be looking for more harvest opportunities, not less, and that we should be managing for multiple use purposes. Option C, again, at the seven sites, focused on closure for GPO only. Here, supported protection at these popular sites, that they should not be harvested in sort of these areas that were recognized as more viewing or they termed general public use spaces. Opposed to this is that they thought many of the most popular shore dive sites are already no-take, and that there wasn't additional sites needed. That at some of these sites, reef structures and support facilities are paid for and maintained by sport user fees, and would like to see that continue. Also, there was comment that given the status that these are not endangered, that there wasn't a reason to take away the opportunity. And then finally, with respect to option D, which was the complete closure to octopuses Puget Sound wide, there was support for that in terms of protecting this resource. Again, comments expressing the importance that people were paying toward this particular species, that these octopus draw divers from outside a region and provide dollars to the economy, and that providing more octopuses in the Puget Sound would increase that economic engine. And some just had the perspective that there was no reason to be harvesting giant Pacific octopuses. Those in opposition to this proposal were along the lines that we already have a number of no-take areas. Again, no scientific basis for doing this, and an interest in maintaining fishing opportunity. So with that, I'd take any questions that you have.
Thanks. Okay, questions? Commissioner Perry?
Thank you. Good presentation.
Thank you, Commissioner Perry. They have a very broad range from intertidal depth clear to 750 meters in depth. Typically, they will use crevices and rocks or some structure to provide protection and sometimes referred to as dens, particularly when females are incubating eggs, they'll stay in dens. So they're really in more of the sort of complex habitat structure types.
Is there any particular management of this, or is it even possible to, say, create more of it, or do you know where the habitats are throughout Puget Sound?
Commissioner Perry, we the department does not have a full mapping of the habitat type in Puget Sound. It is work that's ongoing not only by our agency but collectively as a region to characterize the habitat type in Puget Sound. We do know that if more complex habitat was created, that it would likely provide additional habitat for the species. We're not at this time sure that that's necessary.
And each one of these areas that you pointed out would have habitat suitable for the octopus.
Yes, Commissioner Perry. These were sites that were identified by the advisory group made up of, in part, divers and folks with that firsthand knowledge that identified these as desirable spots.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions? Have Greg? All right. You've answered all of our questions. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move into the public input portion of this item. We've only got one person who signed up to testify, and that's Ron Garner. Would you come forward, please? You know the rules. We give you 3 minutes.
Okay. Hello. Good to see you again. this Cabazon issue that's happened kind of goes back also with Cabazon and a lot of things happening. And I understand what you said, Commissioner Jennings, about restrictions and things like that. But what I don't think you're getting is that when you pile restriction upon restriction upon restriction in a short time, the general public feels strangled. And at what point are you going to blow the general public's trust to quit reporting what they catch? Because you're going there. That's exactly where you're going. And when we see things like this, you know, this is an emotional issue. It is not a conservation issue. But, I mean, this guy that took this octopus, I can probably rest assured you, he'll probably never do it again. First off, he's probably not really telling you the truth. He probably came close to losing his life because I know what ones like to deal with on the side of a boat. And I feel they have the upper hand. And to pull his respirator out of his mouth or anything like that, which is pretty common with 8 legs when you have 2 arms to fight, I feel we're trying to put a restriction on something. We're trying to fix something that's not broken. Yes, it was an emotional issue. I have a friend that took one in the same spot in the 60s. The paper was there, and he was almost a hero. This is how the times have changed today. And I think you'd have to be crazy, actually, to go down one-on-one with an octopus and take it on. But I just don't, when anything like this happens, you know, I know everybody comes to you for stopping any kind of take. I'm the guy on the other fence that everybody comes to and says, hey, what are we going to do about this? And they're frustrated. And these kind of things that just keep happening, they get more frustrated and more frustrated. You know, and I'm the go-between that everybody comes to, then I bring it to you, what's going on. And I don't mind it. You know, it's good. I feel like I've got good trust behind me, but I want to keep the trust there of the general public. And when things like this happen, 50 pounds a year, and we're going to put restrictions? Come on. This is just, you know, it just doesn't seem right. As far as those closure areas, complete closure areas, those are still in salmon trolling path in the summer. So those have to be out. Personally, I, not speaking for the Puget Sound Angler or Recreation Committee, I can care less if you close the whole thing down personally, because I don't want anything to do with them. Even a small octopus is hard to deal with. We get them in pots. We get them in different things. And it's very, very rare for a hook and line guy ever to get one. And the only place that I've ever seen it done is the western end of the Strait of Juan de Fuca in the ocean. And it's usually halibut fishing. And if you get one, you don't get it close to the boat because you're not going to get it off. So I think we're against any kind. One of the main things I'd like to say is closure zones always end up later on becoming something they weren't established for. That's my biggest concern. I'm on the NOAA Rockfish group, and we just had our last meeting. We went and we had every person in there take three of their main topics on what was the most important to them. And I was actually very surprised that only Jenny Broadhurst of the Straits Commission and I put derelict gear removal number one. Not one other person in that room even put it on there as an option. So to me, I'm really worried because this group wants to build marine reserves. And you start putting down guidelines. While what I said earlier this morning in public testimony, we're seeing more rockfish back than ever before. I'm having guys in the San Juans tell me they're seeing more rockfish than they've ever seen. And these are people that will live there forever. You have no commercial fishery anymore. I think these feel-good emotions, you can't manage an agency such as the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife off of emotions and feel-good options. We have to stay with regulatory science, and it has to be done with regulatory science, good science. And I want to thank you for at least taking the time to listen today. So thank you.
Thank you.
And appreciate all your hard work. I know how much you guys get paid for this, and I see about doubling your pay.
thank you. Director Anderson?
Thanks, Madam Chair. Ron, I wanted to just ask you a couple questions about option C, which has the popular, what's represented as the popular dive sites being closed to GPO harvest.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you certainly that science needs to drive our decision making, but that isn't all that fishery management is about. It's also about looking at different values and that people have.
Okay.
About how they want to use, how the public wants to use fish and wildlife resources.
That's true.
And you may have a species that's healthy, but there may be social values that you're trying to achieve by not allowing take on that in for whatever set of social values you're trying to achieve. So of these sites that are listed here, I think in your testimony you mentioned that they were in salmon trolling corridors, or I don't think you use that term. Did you make that comment relative to these seven sites?
It was to the two sites that were total, where there was no take.
Okay.
Not GPO take only.
Okay.
Only to, was that option two or B?
Yeah. GPO option B was no recreational harvest of all species.
Option B, that's okay. The one I'm talking about. Not the other seven. The other seven doesn't really affect us.
So option C that has those seven sites and it would be closed to harvest of GPO is from an angling perspective, boat angler, beach angler. Do you see conflict in terms of is there a restricting of angling opportunities that you're concerned about with one of those?
No.
Okay.
We just don't catch them, especially inside. It's just not an issue.
Yeah.
Like I said, everything that we've ever caught or seen has been closer to the ocean, and my guess is because it's more abundant of everything out there. And it's usually been halibut fishing.
Yeah.
But inside, I just don't think it's an issue with hook and line at all. But I do see the two areas that I talked about is being areas when salmon opens where people are going to trawl through there. You know, they're going to either drift through there or they're going to downrigger through there. Because
But if you picked option, just if the commission were to pick option C, it's not going to have an adverse impact on the people you represent from an angling perspective. Is that correct?
No, we would not.
Okay.
So
thanks.
I understand that is true, too, with the diving community. That's a big part of who we are, too, you know. So
sure.
But there does need to be, boy, it just doesn't look like anybody's even going after them, though. So almost seems like the whole thing's not really even an issue in a way.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Anything else?
I'll see you again today.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Where are you going?
We want to go. Has anyone else signed up? No, that is the only public testimony that we'll receive this morning on this subject. So that concludes the public input. There's nothing more to add at this point. We had scheduled item number six, in-stream flows, but I think we were going to defer that?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. We're going to defer that subject to a later meeting to catch up with our schedule. So we are ready for break. Commissioner Perry?
Well, Craig is still here. I just have one very minor question.
Okay.
The 50 pounds came up, and there's probably quite a confidence interval around the 50 pounds.
What does that represent in terms of numbers of octopus taken?
Probably between one and maybe four could likely be the range if they were
for a calendar year.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you again. All right. So it's time for lunch, but before you head off, you know your committee assignments. And I was asked to remind the Wildlife Committee members to get your lunch immediately and go up to the director's meeting room for the Wildlife Committee meeting. And the Enforcement Committee meets in room 184 of the cafeteria. So get your lunches and go right to room 184. Commissioner Smith, you're welcome to join us if you would like in the Enforcement Committee.
I was supposed to meet somebody here.
Okay.
But if not,
all right. All right. And then we'll reconvene at 1 o'clock. Thank you.